Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today.
One time I had brought a BB gun into class, and a bunch of other kids started looking up to me, like all the little bad kids, you know, like all the little knuckleheads. They're like, oh man, that guy's cool, you know, we should hang out with him. And then some gang member approached us and started chilling with us, you know, like he kind of told us that we wanted to join, that we'll be promised money, drugs, and protection. I did make a lot of money, like off selling drugs and stuff like that, but it wasn't really getting me new clothes, new shoes. I was just helping my mom pay bills at first, and she kind of questioned about where I get the money, and I had to be truthful about it, because like my mom was the only person I used to go to and talk to about things, you know. And she kind of understood what I had to go through, you know, as a boy growing up, and you know, in this area the way it is. At the same time, like, I wish you would have put a stop to me or, like, spanked me for selling drugs, you know? Because, like, these guys were doing, like, killing people, actually. Like, I was witnessing these people, like, these grown men killing guys. And, like, I was supposed to be the ride-along, you know? Like I'm supposed to ride along with these guys, watch them kill somebody, so next time I come, I know how to kill somebody.
Someone is shot in Chicago every other hour. And that's the title of a new series from our friends at WBEZ. Every Other Hour looks at the roots and the realities of gun violence in Chicago. We played you the story of Jaime, a former gang member, yesterday on the show. Today, we bring you Alex's story. We heard a few moments ago about how Alex, when he was just a young boy, was trained to kill. And we pick up his story here.
First time I actually hit somebody with a bullet, like intentionally, like, was when I was 13 years old, and I was actually with a bunch of friends, and we were game banging on my block, you know. And every time you game bang, you have your leader and you have the second ranking officer. The ranking officer from my block, you know, he gave me his gun as me being his bodyguard, you know. So I took the gun. I mean, as a little kid, I really didn't know how to use a gun. So I just like, okay. So I guess I got in the gangway. I was in the darkened area, you know, with a hoodie over my head. And I was just watching every car pass by, you know, like as a real security guard. So like about an hour into being in the gangway, I seen the car pull up, and these guys started hollering out the window asking for weed, if we had weed for sale. And one of my friends walked up to the car, not knowing that it was actually a rival gang trying to trick us. Once my friend like walked up to the car, on the opposite side of the car, a door opened. So that's when I jumped up. I had the gun right next to my pocket, you know, in my hoodie pocket. And as soon as the guy jumped out the car, he charged at us with a bat, not knowing that I had a gun on me. So I pulled it out, and I was aiming for his chest. That's all I remember, was aiming for his chest. And I squeezed the trigger about 4 or 5 times, striking him in the chest. It was a 45 caliber. It was pretty heavy. And as soon as I pulled the trigger once, like, the gun, like, it jerked my shoulder back from all that power that it probably had. But after that, like, I felt a little bit, like, I don't know, like, hyped up. Like, you know, like, damn, you know, I just shot my first gun, you know? He was hospitalized, and He came out in good condition after that. After, I think, about a week being hospitalized. I got caught by the cops with the gun, so I ended up catching the case, you know, with the attempted murder. I did about, actually, like, 3 years. A lot of friends, like, were like, I mean, they were boasting about me, like, saying free me, you know, all this good stuff on Facebook, MySpace, actually, back then. And when I got out, I mean, I got hit with, like, with drugs and money as a, like, as an award for what I did, but in the long run, it kind of just affected my lifestyle. It kind of, like, messed up my head being in them cells for so long and just sitting there thinking about, like, what I had done, because just sitting in jail replays the same crime you did over and over and over. So, like, kind of mentally messes you up. My friend was, like, all into school. Like, he was all for it. Like, he just tried to do the same thing that I was trying to do, get out the gang life. And on his 18th birthday, he ended up getting killed. And when that happened, it kind of, like, brought me back into my old ways, into, like, being a crazy guy, you know, like, doing bad things. Like, I was trying to change myself. I was in Malcolm X getting my GED. I was going to welding school, and I was doing so good. I had a job. I wasn't going to my hood for a year and a half, and you not showing your face around the block, it's consequences, you know? It's called the SOS, smash on sight, you know? Like, when they catch you, they beat you, you know? So I guess that's what I had coming for not being around for a year and a half. So the day my friend got killed, I decided to go back to my hood and take a two-minute beatdown from all my guys, you know? After the beatdown, I told my friends, like, I need a gun. They gave me a gun, and I called my close friend that I trust, and he came and picked me up, and he brought his close friend that he trusted, and he had his own gun, so it was going to be two of us that jumped out and did what we did. We rode around by the rival gang members. We were going around the blocks four or five times until we found some guy in a wheelchair sitting on top of his porch steps with five other guys with black hoodies over their head. So we're like, man, these guys surely look like they gang bang. And sure enough, these guys were like throwing gang signs at us. So we're like, all right, cool. You know, these guys are definitely the guys you're going to try to kill. So we decided to go around the whole house. You know, like, we went in front of the house and we approached these guys. And my friend was the first one to fire the shots, you know. So he let like three shots go. And I was waiting for somebody like with a gun to like shoot back. That was my whole like instinct, like to wait to see who's the shooter from their side, you know? And I guess nobody had a gun, so that's when I started, like, shooting at them. And, I mean, we all missed, but I still got caught. Like, I'm pretty much going to be doing 4 years anytime soon. But I'm on house arrest just to get this extra time, you know, as counted for. We're going to try to file motion for suppress evidence, but I mean, all in all, like, I'm actually just going to take my whole consequences that I got to deal with, you know, because I'm not going to sit here and lie to the judge and say that I didn't have a gun, you know, when I knew what I was going to do. I mean, the things that we do, like, when we go retaliate, it is a bad thing, you know, like, but people just don't know why we do the shooting. Like, there's a story behind why we shoot people, you know? I mean, I understand innocent bystanders are getting hit, and I don't approve of that, you know, like, innocent people dying because of these dumb people that want to shoot, but, like, sometimes, like, there's a big story behind why the guy shot him, you know, or why the guy wants to shoot somebody. It's about whose gang's the toughest, actually, or what gang got the most kills, you know? It's like, who dies the fastest, you know?
Alex spoke with WBEZ's Patrick Smith for this story. Our thanks to WBEZ for sharing these stories. You can check out their full series and all the incredible work they're doing on gun violence in Chicago by visiting our website at thetakeaway.org.